We're ready.
I call this meeting to order.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Oh, he's been excused, sorry.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
Councilmember LaConte?
Here.
Councilmember Ammons?
Here.
Councilmember Senical? He's excused too, he was absent. Councilmember McCain?
Here.
Councilmember Amber? I've not heard from Amber tonight.
I have not either.
Councilmember Eckford?
Okay, we're just going to move on to the city's comprehensive plan update and review of the draft capital facilities and utilities element. Barbara?
Okay, well, first of all, this is not complete. And what I hope that we can get through tonight is to the police section, and then we'll stop. And I think that that'll probably give us enough to talk about in one night anyway. And then our next meeting, we'll finish up the capital facilities and utilities element with the police and the fire, public schools, and the city administration offices. And then we will have reviewed all of the plan chapters except for transportation. And with the transportation chapter, it's in an almost complete state, but nothing has been done, to my knowledge, with that. I'm not exactly sure. I'm just, going to look to the city for guidance on how that's going to go. But
about what we were doing with the transportation, but because the council turned it down, we are not doing anything with it right now. They could bring it up for just bring it back up to another meeting. It's too late to do a reconsideration, but you can bring it back to council any time. But we haven't been doing anything on the transportation element, and I also believe that we have gone out for a new quote from them, but they didn't give us a new quote. And so I don't know if that means that they don't want to work for us or what, but because we don't have any buy-in from council, we haven't really pursued that. We can turn in our comp plan when we get done with the elements we've been working on. We can turn it in without the transportation element and add that element later.
Right. And what I would recommend that we do then is after next month when we finish this capital facilities and utilities element, I will package up everything, including the partial transportation element, and I will send that to the Department of Commerce and Puget Sound Regional Council so that they can at least do a preliminary review, because remember, they have to approve this plan. And they keep urging us, send us whatever you have because something is better than nothing, and they can weigh in and get some comments back to us as we move forward and finalize things. So that's what I would recommend doing.
This is Councilmember Edelman. Just a quick question. When you talk about the police and fire and schools, and it's some questions that I had, are you adding more information then when we come back for the next?
Cause yes.
Yeah, I thought it looked kind of skimpy.
Yes,
so, okay,
it is.
Thank you.
Commissioner Eckert, is it possible for us to review what you're sending out before it gets sent out? Even though it's just partial.
Oh, absolutely. What I can do, Commissioner, is, when I bundle all these chapters that we've been doing chapter by chapter together, and, of course, I'm going to want to kind of do some edits from the meetings and make sure that there's some uniform format, then I will, I can email that out to you all in that draft state. And were you thinking that you wanted to look at that again and review it before it goes to the state?
That's what I was thinking. It'd be nice for us to at least go through it before it gets out.
Oh, it is already out. I mean, this is already public document now.
Transportation.
Mm-hmm. Sure it is. Transportation element. Everything that we've done is public document. So it's up to you all. I mean, I'm happy to do that, but I'm...
Are we talking about the draft one?
Draft? Everything that the city has done in draft form is public document. I will have that all together, but including the transportation element that has been done, even though you haven't reviewed it, the consultant's work for the city is public record. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can include what we've done so far, what the city has contracted so far, which hasn't come before.
Yeah, and certainly if you wanted to just have a look at that, it's fine. I'm just not in a position to where I would want to present and workshop that with you because it's not my work. Someone, another consultant did that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does anyone else want that?
You should send it to everybody. This is Councilmember Edelman again. But so now I'm confused. You're going to send something to Department of Commerce and PSRC.
Yes, I want to send the whole.
Including
the transportation, including everything that we have to date.
Okay, so now where I'm confused is we've been doing work studies for months now and have been making suggested changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming those have been incorporated.
Yes.
But we haven't seen where they've been incorporated.
Well,
and
right.
I think that's what you're saying, yeah. Tom, is that you want to see, it's not the final document,
mm-hmm.
but it's the final, it's a draft of a final document.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think we need to see that. Now, do we need to have a work study? Maybe not. Go ahead, because we're going to have another work study towards the end. So, yeah, if you could email that to everybody, I think we all need, because we've all had mm-hmm. input, we've all
right.
made comments, we've all written ourselves notes, and mm-hmm. I think in order for us to feel confident that our needs were met, and maybe there wasn't any misinterpretation.
Right. And so maybe it makes sense to have a workshop on that.
So, Councilmember Dee, so when you send that compilation to PRSC and the other agency, it's not a final thing. It's just for them to review, give feedback, and then come back to a work study. So, right? So
that's exactly right. And it really would make sense, I think, maybe for this group to get back together after we get those comments back. And then, because then you can also judge whether or not your comments were incorporated. And plus, then we can have a discussion about what else needs to be changed based on what they submitted. I think that would make the best sense.
What was the other agency besides PSRC?
The Department of Commerce.
That. I think if we all just get an email, whenever you get a chance,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead and send it to Commerce and PSRC. At least that way we'll know then what PSRC is looking at.
Right.
And then we can discuss it at the next work study we have if we need to.
I think that's a good. So next month's meeting, we'll be finishing capital facilities and utilities, and then you'll see an email with the compilation with, you know, the edits that you made throughout all these months on these plan chapters all bundled together. You'll get that. I will send that to PSRC and Department of Commerce. And then I don't know that they will actually, we'll be meeting again in March. I don't know that we'll have comments back by then. But as soon as we do get that back, let's reconvene for that kind of that final joint workshop. And then at that time, we need to go out and have a public an open house with that document in it, in that state, because once again, then we need to be able to solicit more changes based on what the public has to say. So this is a document that continues to evolve as we go through the public process. And then at that point, then you're going to be starting the Planning Commission hearing, and planning commissioners, based on what they receive during those hearings, may also want to revise the document based on public input. And then, so that's another potential iteration. And then it goes to council, and of course, council, you have the authority to, again, make some changes again.
Councilmember Edelman again. I think the other thing, too, is that this is a living document. And so once we get this to a certain stage and it all gets blessed by everybody, whether it's 2017 or 2018, we need to start working then on the next iteration to make it even better. But we got to get this thing going, get it done, at least for now.
Anyone else on the process and where we're at? I mean, I think we're doing fine. We're, you know, we're just plugging along and in the way that these things go. And there's a lot of process to it for sure. But I don't think that's a bad thing. Okay, so we'll just get right into this, the introduction. This is, again, the way that we're doing all these elements is we have the what's before you, which is the policy piece of it, and then there's a technical appendices part of it, too. And so tonight what I would really like us to be able to do is focus on the policies and weigh in on whether or not you think these policies, some of them are from the existing plan, some of them are new. I want to know whether or not they may still make sense or there's something missing.
So since you brought it up, mm-hmm. One of the things that I've been wondering about is the system plan.
Mm-hmm. It is very much, and this is where they come into play. The system plans or functional plans are the water system plan, the general sewer plan, the stormwater plan. These are just like the school capital facility plans, these documents become incorporated into our comprehensive plan. So the water system plan, we have an adopted one, and the city has a draft one. We have an adopted sewer plan. The data from those, because those are really down to the nitty-gritty stuff, which is, this is a higher level policy document, but we need to know the existing conditions. In fact, this tells us in the front page that growth management requires certain things in the capital facilities element, so you do have to have an inventory of all the current capital facilities owned. You have to forecast the needs. You've got to have capacity. So you have to have a certain amount of that nitty-gritty technical information, and then what you do is you go to those system plans to find that. And so that's what I've done here.
So I sort of would like to list of them. I guess the fire department is probably responsible for the fire and rescue. And I think
they don't have a planning requirement like the schools have to do capital facility plans, the water and sewer plans, and stormwater. Those are the required ones that we have. We don't have a fire comprehensive plan or capital facilities plan, but they would be responsible. You're right.
Well,
yeah.
I think, don't we have that document that they had that they produced 2 years ago?
They have a report, an ad hoc committee report, okay. Right, which I do have that, and I am using that.
Okay.
But that's a little bit different than a
really
system plan.
And,
yeah.
And we actually own equipment in the city of Black Diamond, so even though we don't have a capital facilities plan for the fire department, we do own
the equipment, and the fire department does have a list of what equipment that we own. So we do have an inventory. Yeah.
See that inventory in the appendix. Yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. But I mean, we could certainly.
The updatedness of those, not that I'm harping on that.
Well, we could list those plans and the date,
cause
what we're referring to.
Be in our draft form anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not all of them are up to date, but that would be good to know just mm-hmm. so that people know it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Commissioner McCabe, or yes, Commissioner McCabe. Is that not the same stuff, Erica, that's mentioned on page 2? Because it talks about the element addresses the following capital facilities and utilities in the middle of because it lists out those items. I think they're the same ones you're concerned about.
I think they're the same ones. Yeah.
Okay.
I think those are banned pretty much. I don't know that we have something that's in the include of all the systems plan.
No, we don't. But I think what you might have been getting at is that you actually wanted to see that this is generally what this is addressing, but that you want to see the 2009 water system plan. The
plan.
Yeah, sure. We have that, and we will have all that. But again, it's back to
we have
a report, and we have that report. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I guess the important thing here in kind of this first thing introduction is really to understand the requirements of the Growth Management Act and that capital facilities are those things that aren't just city-owned in this plan. They also require that you list any of the essential public services that are required for people that may be outside of city, city-owned or operations. So, we'll be talking about telecommunications and the solid waste and all that as part of this. Next, even though we don't have the same level of, authority or responsibility to set policy for someone else's utility, we still have to talk about it in the sense that we have a whole community and that we have these services available, and this is the level of those services. And so that's really what's required, but most importantly, those things that the city provides with its residents is to make sure that you know what you have now, what kind of condition it's in, what you, based on your growth and your future land use, what you will need to expand or improve upon, and how are you going to finance it? What is it, and how are you going to pay for it? And you have to have that schedule. So that's really what we have to do in this section, and that's very much like the transportation element. Although, like I said in here, the transportation element, we're satisfying that requirement in its own chapter. Parks is considered a capital facility, but we've separated that out, and I make that statement. We're still compliant because we did that in another chapter. So if that makes sense to everybody and you're all okay with it. So then I've got the purpose statement at the end of page 1, and again, that goes into the city-owned. Now, this is the last sentence of this page 1 is the one that is really important. The finance director said we've got to make sure that we define capital facilities in such a way that allows the city to be able to go out for grants or loans on equipment, not just buildings. So that's that. I ran that statement by her to make sure that would serve the city in the future when you guys need to fund equipment replacement or repair. So again, page 2 talks about this being it's a policy. To guide the city's decision making, we're still keeping that vision, our vision in our heads about we want Black Diamond to look like and to be like in the future, and how are we going to, this is the roadmap, how we're going to make that happen. And that important to provide, as we know, utility services that are at a good standard. And we talk about level of services being adopted for certain things, and that as you grow, you're constantly making sure that the new demand on services does not decrease the level of service for the people already. And in some cases, we've got deficiencies, so we have to talk about those deficiencies.
So, Erica here. So one right after, I guess at the first sentence of this on the purpose, in the city of Black Diamond and surrounding potential annexation area, and I just wrote a note here, what about just the surrounding areas, the surrounding parks? And, you know, we talked a little bit ago about park and ride lots being in those bicycle parks during the business hours, because they're not utilized so heavily then, at the time we're happy to have those open for that. And I'm thinking, well, that's an asset for the city.
It is.
And whether that is there or not.
We could expand this to have a discussion about those county park and ride facilities, and it would be very much like recognizing that that's an important service, like the garbage, the Lime or telecom or something, or electricity. We can add a little section that talks about that. The most we could do would be like we did in the parks, is talk about, acknowledge it exists, and that maybe we could say, oh, you know, the city should try to work with King County to get an agreement, you know, something like that. But yeah, it's true.
And Commissioner McNamara, I have a question. So it talks about also on page one, it says the potential annexation area. Are those already delineated on a map somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
So what map would I find that on?
In the early, your land use map, but I can, yeah, there. It's in the PAA map, and UGA map was provided with the land use chapter.
Oh,
yeah.
It's already in.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. I know, and when you get this all together, then you're going to be able to leaf back and look. Anything else before we move on? So we talk a little bit about LOS, level of service, and phasing, and what that is. This is just a little narrative about what, you know, why we establish levels of service. And what the state law requires. It doesn't require you to adopt level of service standards for everything, just for transportation. Now, in the city of Black Diamond, we have elected in the past to adopt level of service standards for other things. And so then when you do that, you really have to make sure and follow through that that those level of services, all of them that you've adopted, are in place, you know, when you approve a development, or at least the commitment to pay for them within 6 years is there. So it either exists or there's a plan with funding to make them exist.
Commissioner Eckert, if you take a look at that 6 years, mm-hmm. and then go back to the previous page one, kind of in the middle of the section that starts with under the GMA, mm-hmm. you go to the second, third, to the last line, it says modes of transportation will be available to support growth at the time such development occurs. To me, at the time and 6 years later doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't sound like concurrency. You can wait 6 years to have a plan.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, The law allows 6 years for concurrency, and so
it doesn't sound very concurrent.
Yeah, yeah, it is though. It's yeah. Just transportation. That's right.
So we come up. So let me see if I understand. So let's say with transportation, you have a study and determine, okay, we need to have some transportation needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we come up with a plan, and then 6 years later, we implement the plan. And but we still have 6 years worth of more studies that could be done to determine that that plan that gets implemented 6 years later is way out of date.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no concurrency then.
Yes, and what the concurrency is, it's about not the city doing studies and identifying its own deficiencies in the system and setting out a course to fix those. It's addressing development. So if a person wants to do a development and then they have to do a traffic impact assessment as part of their application for consideration, and they in that analysis, it shows that, well, their development is going to impact the transportation system by adding, you know, I don't know, 100 more cars, let's say. And so then they have 6 years to, and they have to tell you, but here's how we're going to fix this. We're going to pay for this. We're going to widen this. They have 6 years to actually do it. And you consider that they've reached concurrency when you approve that permit.
So this supporting growth.
So they don't have to do it first.
Occurs,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't make it. This has no meaning.
Yeah.
Because it's not at the time the development occurs.
Well, but we have a concurrency fee that people have to pay over.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to.
If you have a plat that comes in and. I can't remember what the baseline is, but I think it's over 10 lots that they have to come in and pay some money and put into a pot to help pay for that when it's time for that to be built. So, and we've just started this because we did the concurrency last year. So we have just been working on this ordinance so that we can collect money because we have some plats that are going in. So we can collect the money ahead of time so that either the city has the money in the pot to buy a piece of property, maybe to do the roadway improvements, but we actually collect money to help the city facilitate. Yarrow Bay basically has to do all of the improvements that affects their developments. And so that includes Roberts Drive and 169 and Lake Sawyer Road and the roundabout. And they're going to be building that roundabout next year. So. At the villages. And so they're responsible to pay for that. The only responsibility that the city has for them is to make sure that we apply for grants whenever possible, because that was in our agreement too, that we apply for the grants, but they have to pay for whatever the grants don't pay for. So anything that has to do with the infrastructure for the villages that they're working on now is really important that we understand that they have their own concurrency that's separate from what our city does. So anything that's in the development, we don't have any control over. It's already been permitted. So the only ones we're going to be interested in for concurrency for the roads is somebody that builds a larger than 10-lot plat in our city. Then they have to put some money in a kitty for the city to make their portion of meet their portion of concurrency that isn't affected by the Yarrow Bay developments or the Oak Point development. So we really don't have very much property outside of Oak Point that we really are going to have concurrency issues with.
What you might be able to do is understanding it's kind of a vocabulary issue here. Is like we might say support growth at the time such development is approved or permitted. Because that's what we're saying
right,
here.
That's what's gonna happen.
If that Does that sound better? Does that make more sense to you, Commissioner?
Well, I read this.
Yeah.
Read the 6 years.
Yeah. So maybe instead of the word occurs, say is approved or is permitted. Okay. Yeah. And you can permit it. Yeah. What do you guys think of that? Well, it would be approved first, and then before your final, I'm thinking on a plat, you know, you give preliminary plat approval, and then before they get final approval, they, well, not necessarily, they have to build a certain amount of it, and, yeah, approved or permitted? Yeah.
And I think that works with transportation. If you, for instance, get to the end of your line on either water reserve or sewer, well, then maybe that capacity has to be there before you complete it.
That's correct. That's correct. Unilaterally said that we have approval for whatever sewer we ever have in this city. So basically, they have just said we will supply the sewer capacity no matter what.
You know, you're right. I think we ought to just say, actually, I think we should strike all that. I think we should say it's clear that which seek to mandate that the city adequately demonstrate within this plan that public utilities and modes of transportation will be available to support growth, period.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it's not. It does start to get a little bit of a conflict. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the essence. That's what it's supposed to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was good. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then the LOS and phasing, and then we go into this little section that talks about the fiscal considerations. That we have to ensure fiscal balance between the expenditures and revenues and the level of service that developers need to pay for their portion based on the amount of increased demand that their project is placing on the system or on the city. And then we say, but, you know, recognizing, too, that we've got ongoing maintenance and restoration, and you can't make a developer pay for that. So you know, there are ways that the city can do that, and so those are kind of all wrapped up in, well, you'll see the fiscal, you know, the ways that the things that the city can do to either fund or to help to defray some of the costs. I said taking advantage of renewable resources or using efficient technologies, things that you can curb your need to continue to build and improve stuff, or maybe it makes the life longer of a certain infrastructure. So sustainable, committing to sustainable infrastructure is a general goal here that would really help help the expenses and help everything. So environmental considerations, again, these are kind of like the themes, setting you up for the themes. Minimizing the environmental impacts is important to protect the natural resources, and that we want to locate facilities and utility routes away from environmentally sensitive areas if we can. We should look for alternatives analysis in our infrastructure project
proposals so we can kind of have planners, public work folks look at, you know, the impacts to the environment and the cost in that alternatives analysis, and then be able to recognize that some times it's not economically feasible to avoid them, but you'll know, you'll have a much better understanding after you look at the alternatives and the costs. And so then we may need to consider special construction techniques to minimize impacts, because the state SEPA says, you know, first you avoid. If you're proving that you can't avoid, then you try to minimize impacts. And that we want to really zero in on restoration. That's important, to have these things restored to original condition or better. We need to have strict design and construction standards, and to ensure that we're not polluting our natural resources. So those are the main themes around kind of like the best practices ideas around around the goal and the next list of all these policies that come up. So capital facility and utility goal, this is the goal that was in the adopted plan: ensure that public services are available to support development consistent with the land use element. But I think we maybe ought to broaden that after I printed it out and read it, to support that maybe we should change it to be ensure that public facilities and services are available to support future development, not just consistent with the land use element. I think that broader goal statement is better. Sound, are you guys okay with that? Okay.
Yeah.
So then we get into then now these are general policies. So first we've got general policies that apply to all the utilities. And remember, utilities are the potable water, sanitary sewer, and stormwater. And then we go into specifics. So policy one, to engage in the joint transportation right-of-ways and utility corridors where possible, so that you're not ripping up extra stuff that you don't need to rip up.
Brothers is checking for the depth and location of the utilities that are there now, so when they run the water line and the sewer lines, that they will be able to avoid disruption of service. So even though they weren't going to quite do it to the depth that they're doing it now, they kind of changed their role because they want to make sure that they don't wreck something later on and then the city is at risk. So they're taking a lot more time doing the locates than normally we'll do, because we don't have a lot of right-of-way space and we want to make sure that we don't interrupt service when they put the water line through there. So
the next policy.
Councilmember Edelman, I just, the policies that you've written out here, were any of these actually contained in the original 2009? Because I was having a hard time doing a reconciling between them.
Some of them were, okay. And I don't know which ones were at this point and weren't. Okay. I mean, and some of them were probably even moved from some other location. And
yeah, I was
and
doing a lot
here.
Of back and forth,
yeah.
Kind of stuff, and then I thought, well, maybe
just
rewriting them a little bit. I think they're good. I don't have
okay.
a problem with them. It was just that I like to go back to the original document
and see
what changes have
I
been
know.
Made.
And unfortunately, you know, I wish we'd have started this process in the beginning by being able to compare.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. That's what I do at my table.
Okay, because if you want, I can try to go back
No, it's not worth it at this point. It's just that...
Because we've had a lot of that where we've had all the old policies, you know, are kind of moved around. It's almost
well,
hard
and you've,
to tell.
You've totally rewritten some,
yeah.
too, which is for the betterment of the
yeah.
document. So, yeah, I don't have,
okay.
like I said, I don't have a problem with it. I was just curious.
Yeah, ordinarily, it's nice to see. It is nice to see what's been changed, though.
So I don't know where this goes, but I wrote a note here because I know that some cities have put the utilities in vaults, all the utilities in vaults under the site, so that, you know, when you have issues in the future, that those the contract isn't disturbed by. It's easier to get people to walk around an open vault on the sidewalk, and they actually even have some, but these vaults are exchangeable.
Really, really old city with a lot of really old utilities, and I just don't believe, I mean, some of the stuff that's going in that's new now will almost all be in vaults. The sewer and everything that's on the village's property will all be in vaults. But the old stuff in the city, it would be impossible for us to move all that stuff around.
Yeah. So, was really kind of trying to address that. Maybe we can refine it a little bit, that we're require underground installation of utility lines. If there's significant site improvements or new development, or when new development occurs with street improvement projects or through a local improvement district. So that's kind of what that was trying to say. But
we're kind of going there.
But maybe it needs to be.
Just, and, you know, I mean, I know that we're not going to rebuild the old city right now, but we have new city.
And so this is actually worded pretty, it says we're going to require it. And so we need to make sure then at the end of this that we go back and that our development regulations, if council adopts this as a policy, that we have a development regulation. That, okay, good. Good.
Commissioner Eckert. So in CCFU 7, we need to say anything about vaults, or is just underground good enough?
Well,
so it talks about above ground. Well, that's above ground.
That's architectural screening for above ground.
Seven is below.
Seven is the below ground.
So do we need to say anything about vaults there?
We
have vaults above ground and below ground.
Underground installation. How we would put that in. Such as. Yeah, okay. Let's do that. Let's just add in vaults where feasible.
Where's that?
We're on 7. So require underground installation and vaults where feasible. When significant site improvements or new development occurs.
I think, Carol, this would be a good place to address that. You were sort of intimated to short plats and long plats when you were talking about lots of 9 or less or 10 or less. So I think if someone just wants to divide their lot in half and create another lot, that requiring them to do underground installation is sort of over and above. So I would like us to say, you know, at a long plat, because it does, it's kind of vague. When significant site improvements, so what's significant? And I think maybe this would be like if you're platting, you know, 9 or more. I don't know what this.
I don't remember what it is, but it's nine or ten
because it's one of those.
Yeah.
But I think to define significant site improvements would be helpful there.
Long flats. But what we also want to say, we also want to make sure if there's a commercial development, or it wouldn't be just residential.
If you have underground and sidewalks in one spot, then. And if it's contiguous with that, that you're going to be required to do that. But if it's not, like if you take that four-lot short plat that's on 288, there's never going to be sidewalks on that street. So that would be ridiculous to require them to put in sidewalks because those houses are going to be there for another 50, 100 years, whatever. I mean, some of them will be replaced, but still, they'll be there for a significant length of time. So to make them put in, for those four lots, put in sidewalks would be ridiculous.
So if we could put a kind of a defining thing here, because I think four-lot is overly burdensome to a private property owner, but yeah, what is significant?
So just find out what that is. You can find out what that number is, and if it's 10 lots or 9 lots, I know it's that number.
Council member?
Mayor Benson alluded to it that the permitting department already has a lot of specified information and in this document might not be the place to come up with a specification, although I'm sure no one objects to it.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Excuse me. I had a question submitted by Commissioner Senecal, and it is regarding GCFU4. So he had a problem with, he just said it's not clear to him. So where it says facilitate the provision of utilities, and it says and insure, and his suggestion was that insure. Environmentally sensitive areas are protected that provide safe and reliable service and that are aesthetically compatible with the surrounding land uses while maintaining a reasonable economic cost instead of what was presented here. So he just added that the word that, and then after environmentally sensitive areas are protected that provide, and then it picks up again the safe and reliable service and that are aesthetically compatible with the surrounding land uses while maintaining a reasonable economic cost. I can just give you this copy, just this extra copy too. Yeah. So his rewording suggested was facilitate the provision of utilities that ensure environmentally sensitive areas are protected. And it probably should be, and they has a semicolon there, and then that provide safe and reliable service, and that are aesthetically compatible with the surrounding land uses while maintaining a reasonable economic cost.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good because we were talking about that today at that transportation meeting that I went to, that a lot of times when it's the WSDOT, that you don't have any control over those costs. And so Maple Valley right now is working on an intersection where the Cherokee Bay, and WSDOT won't sign off on it. They want them to spend like $4 million more. And they're saying, you know, this is going to be just as good, but it'll cost the taxpayers less money, and they can't get WSDOT to buy into it. And that's one of the things that the one representative, and I can't remember his name, was at the meeting today, but one of the things that he said is if we could bring projects in under budget, that there would be more money available for doing other projects like 169 or 560. And so somehow, you know, the discussion morphed into what do we do about WSDOT when it's a Washington State highway.
So
that, and I said, but we don't want to anticipate too far into the future and resign the future to old-fashioned utilities.
Facilitate the development of all utilities.
Accommodate all growth that is anticipated to occur.
The
the appropriate LOS to accommodate growth that is anticipated to occur.
And then, and sort of my comment about anticipated is that we don't want to anticipate so far into the future that we resign the future to having old-fashioned utilities in the current city.
So if you don't revisit your LOS, is what you're thinking, then you may end up with antiquated. Yeah.
Well, we have a policy now in the city that, especially with our asbestos lines, that every time there is grant money available, we go out and apply for it. We've gotten some every year to replace those asbestos lines. I would say probably the worst thing is that our main transmission line that's out by the Black Diamond Gun Club is asbestos. And they were cutting down trees there the other day, and Dan had to go tell him to quit because they were falling them on the roadway where the main transmission line is. And they said, well, we thought that was just a spur line. No, it's the main transmission line into the city. So I think that the policy is just with Public Works anyway, is that they go out and get grant money wherever they can to replace those lines.
Yeah, and I'm just saying in the future, and, you know, other things. I mean, I'm thinking so other places in town when there is reason to put, for instance, the power lines underground in Old Town sometime in the future, we wouldn't want to stop that from happening because then those people will have more consistent power when they have storms. But maybe this gets your level of service. Right, and maybe this gets covered in our utility systems plan, where they're going and what they're doing. But I don't know. I'm just saying this is a policy document, so maybe a way to figure out how to say that. Okay. I don't know what it is.
I do think that policy 3 does need to be rewritten a little bit better. Weird reading.
Yeah. Well, let me see what I'll take a stab at it. Unless somebody does. Let me try to rewrite that one. Yeah. Okay. So then on page 4, require architectural screening for above ground utility structures such as transformers and vaults. Architectural screening. That's policy GCFU, and you're wondering what does that mean?
Well, I would want to make sure whatever architectural screening is not an overburden to a property owner. Like, is it full brick? Is it, some kind of a wood screen that would need to be maintained more rigorously?
Right, and there is regulations, like for King County Metro, for the structures that they build above ground, they have their own regulations for building them and putting trees around them, and so that they're not an eyesore. So they, King County, so it was going to be a structure that was King County Metro, although the vault is going to be underground in the villages, so it wouldn't apply there. But if, you know, if we really have such little land except for that land to develop, that's really not going to happen. I mean, because nobody would be building an above-ground vault.
Well, like you see the green boxes that are in the neighborhoods, those green utility boxes.
Oh, yeah, those are like the phone or the...
But if this is thinking about something more elaborate, like a bus shelter or something, then it would require a further definition.
Councilmember D, so when we built our house, we have that big transformer green box, but the city never had any code, and this was 19 years ago to say what I have to do. I just follow what it says on the box of what I can plant around it and keep it, you know, kind of hidden. But exactly, accessible so that in any time a worker needs to get to it, they can get to it. But it just gave me an idea of what I could do. So maybe it would help if the city had some sort of, for any homeowner that's building and has that transformer, a guidance of what to do with that.
I don't think so. I think we may have some where it talks about it in our design standards. But I don't know that we have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about architecture.
Yeah. Barb.
Yeah.
Also, this sort of, there's a certain vault on the sidewalk that bugged me, so I couldn't help it, but I wrote in here. We also don't want things that impede the line of sight of the road and are a safety hazard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I will see what I can do with that.
I mean, it can be a different shape, lower down.
Okay. And so then create and maintain adequate reserve funds to pay for replacement of existing facilities and equipment.
Commissioner McCain, do you currently have a reserve account for that?
For some things we do and some things we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not everything. For some things, yeah. But we need to try to have reserve funds for everything if it's possible. Yeah. And certainly maintain them and not rob from them if you need
to. So I wrote after here, develop budgeting practices for prudent savings as well as for grant applications.
Develop budget
practices. Prudent savings. So if you have a CIP that goes out for 6 years, and you're doing and we're doing a budgeting practice, and those things that are coming up next year, the next year, have some kind of a savings account so that those things could happen, or put money aside right from the beginning.
That earmarks the money that's going to go into the capital improvement plan. So. That's redundant.
Yeah, I think the prudent savings that maybe we earmark a certain percentage of it or something. But
when you do your capital improvement plan, do you say where that money is going to come from? Developer funded, REIT funded, and grant funded. So that money is in there. And so if we get the project next year and we get a bigger grant, then you reduce the REIT funding. That's the city's fund. And our REIT fund is basically a reserve fund.
Yeah, that is essentially the budget practice that Erica is thinking about.
Right, and I don't think it's already in place.
Yeah.
You already budgeted.
Well, you have to do that. Yeah. Yeah.
And the reserve funds, is that earmarked as a dollar amount?
But trying to define prudent reserve funds a little too ambiguous.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we need now, when we do our capital facilities plan like we did this year, you go through and you say, okay, the roundabout at Roberts Drive is going to cost $7 million. And of that $7 million, we expect to get grants of X number of dollars. And then we have to put in some supporting money, so that comes out of REIT. So that's already earmarked, so that next year, if we do something else and want REIT funds, we know that that fund has already been hit with that amount of money that we have to do. Because usually with grants, you have to do grant matching. And then the developer pays up for all the rest of it. So, and then if that changes next year, because we're going to put stoplights in instead of the roundabout, then you reassess the whole process. But the whole process is funded 100% on the capital improvement plan. Even though it's only a plan, it's still, the funding sources are there on the capital improvement plan.
And do they include reserve funds?
Well, they include REIT, which is basically reserve funds. It's real estate excise tax that has can only be used for certain types of projects. And when we go in and put that REIT money in there, then May has a schedule that keeps track of what's been earmarked for that account so that we don't overload it or use it up.
Reserve funds from the enterprise account itself. So on some of these accounts, you know, the utilities, water, there's a reserve fund built into, because it has its own little budget, built into that. So then you may, in that capital plan, improvement plan, CIP, you may transfer out $10,000 from that, plus the REIT, plus the, yeah. So then we start talking about the specific utilities. So then we just kind of did sort of some general policies that would, now we need to talk about those policies that are specific to a certain type of facility. So this utility section, we talk a little bit about the Puget Sound Regional Council, King County planning policies and the requirements section. There, you know, you've got to address utilities, consider public health, safety, the environment, phasing, service extensions, and that the utilities section of this element and its supporting appendix is consistent with all these things. And then I talk in the second paragraph how it's in the appendix that you have the characteristics and the relevant information of all the private and public utilities, and that these include water, sanitary sewer, stormwater, electricity, natural gas, telecommunications, and solid waste. That's what we're talking about in this utilities section. The comprehensive plan considers the location, the condition, the level of service, and funding of all existing and proposed city utilities. And see, then I break out the city utilities. So we're going to talk about all those other things, but it's the city utilities that we're going to look at the funding mechanism for, and have that's going to be what's on our capital improvement plan, not the other stuff, obviously. But just wanted to clarify that in this paragraph. Our other public providers include the Covington Water District of Sioux Creek, Water and Sewer District, electricity, natural gas, telecommunications, and solid waste services are from private and investor-owned utilities. And there's a statement about the private utilities are regulated by the WUTC and that the state law. So that's just a statement saying we really don't have much to say about that, really. But we want to make sure that we're recognizing that these services are needed for our residents and they do exist in this condition. So we want to ensure that our phasing of our improvements meet the growing or changing needs of our community. We recognize that the MPDs are going to substantially expand the size and population over the next 20 years. And we say that the city has our development agreements that are requiring the MPD developers to fund capacity-added utility improvements as their development occurs. They have to maintain the city's LOS standards, and that every expansion of the city's utility system will be planned, designed, and constructed to increase reliability and sustainability. Expansion, maintenance, and operations of the city's utility systems will follow general capital facilities and utility policies as well as those specified below.
Councilmember Dean. So back on where it says Black Diamond, on your under utilities. Mm-hmm. So is must and shall the same, or are they a little, or not?
They're different.
So I was just wondering, would it be better to say Black Diamond shall ensure the phasing of its utility system improvements meet the growing or changing needs of the community?
But you must do this. But it's okay. But
you think so? Because I know it, you know, whenever.
I mean, there's no saying that you can do anything else.
Okay. So I'm just, you know, because staff changes all the time. And so I know when it says shall, they know that is exactly what we're doing. But if it says something else, it kind of has a little leeway to go one way or the other.
I will just say this because we're in our little legalese mode,
right.
but because this is a policy statement, a policy document, that shall argument wouldn't really come into play. It only comes into play in your ordinances, in your regulations. But you know, whatever you guys want there is whatever you want is fine with me.
Well, I just want to clarify. Must and a shell,
Yeah. Well, I tell my kids they must do something. They better hear shall. That's what I'm thinking. No, go ahead. Okay. No, we could be going down, but changing is everything. Yeah, I think it covers everything, and it doesn't need to be so wordy. So I like that too. Yeah, changing needs, perfect. Okay, so policy utility general utility policy number one: consider utility permits simultaneously with development proposals, and ensure all utilities necessary to support development are adequate and available prior to approving development.
Yeah. Well, I have some input from Commissioner Senecal on that subject. He says
that he much prefers the wording of the RCW mentioned in the LOS section and phasing section where it says adequate facilities must be available at the time the development is available for occupancy, rather than prior to approval.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Those public facilities, so on back to the LOS. So he would prefer that we say
is available for occupancy. It does talk about that on page 2, last sentence of the LOS and phasing. Mm-hmm. And I think his point is that these are not congruent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hate to get so specific and put occupancy in our policy, though, because there's this, you know, this...
Oh, right.
Whether
an overall general policy versus specific policy. We already have policies, RCW, the state that have.
Yeah. So.
What would be done? I think it would be over here.
It was just his suggestion.
Adequate.
He's open to the dialogue on that.
Maybe are adequate to support and not say when, because then you get into some questions, some inconsistencies there. If the city is going to, it's going to have the ability to decide at occupancy or at the issuance of a building permit. So there's two times when you can make that decision under state law. And so I kind of feel like maybe we should not say prior to approving the development.
Are just adequate and available, period?
Yeah. Do you guys feel like that leaves it hanging?
they adequately available?
I think it's adequate to strike those last few words. Is that what you're saying?
Or adequate and available. Consider utility permits simultaneous with development proposals to ensure all utilities necessary to support development are adequate and available. But without that, it sounds weird. Okay, but we kind of know, maybe I can just reword that. Prior to approval, Commissioner Senegal's point is well taken there. That we probably don't want to say. Yeah.
This was available for occupants. Available.
Consider utility permit simultaneous with development proposals. Which they kind of like to leave it like that.
If you ask me, I think that's really clear. It's like we're not going to entertain your submittal unless you have your utility permit with it. I think that's just clear as mud.
Okay. Yeah, all the wordy stuff. Okay. Because that's what we want to say. No piecemeal stuff. Okay.
Yep.
I wanted to add the stormwater utility.
Oh, yeah. Water, sewer, and stormwater.
Yeah.
Good
this
catch.
Was because we're dominated by
yep.
stormwater.
Yep, good catch.
What kind of stormwater hookup?
It's not a hookup, but, if there's stormwater, stormwater. There's
commercial
sites. Yeah. Water and sewer hookups and stormwater provisions. Yeah, to monitor. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. U3, strive to upgrade existing system deficiencies within 6 years upon identification.
I know, but you know what? We've known for a very long time that we have those asbestos pipes. 6 years is not. You could just say whenever available or wherever possible or wherever, because it's on our list. I mean, it's on the city's list that any time funds are available to replace those pipes, we do it. And every year we've gotten grants.
Become available, prioritize prioritize upgrading existing deficiencies as funds
available.
If funds become available or when funds become available.
When.
So prioritize. So that puts it up there on the list for getting those asbestos, but you do that anyway. But
yeah.
U4, regularly update water and sewer plans to ensure compliance with state rules and maintain consistency with the comprehensive plan. It's pretty straightforward.
So I still wrote two things here. Actually, under U3 of above, how do we find the failure? And on this U4 is so what should the period be? And it might depend, and that might be in the system plan.
Yeah, the system plans, and you know, it's funny that you asked this because I spent a stupid amount of time trying to find in Department of Health and Department of Ecology's rules in the WAC what that time period was, because I've always thought it was 6 years, every 6 or 10 years.
It's,
I don't think it's four. I think one of them is 10 and one of, but I don't know, and I couldn't find it in their rules. And then I thought, well, if I read somebody's system plan, surely they'll say, as required every 6 years by. I couldn't find that, and so.
So it probably isn't identical.
The water plan is from 2006, right? 2006. Yeah, I think it's 10 years on the water plan. But I don't know about the general sewer plan. I don't, it really drove me crazy. So if anybody can find that, yeah.
I don't even know if we do a sewer plan because it's King County Metro.
A general sewer plan, yeah. Yeah, you're required to by ecology. Because it's our collection system, and even though we're not doing the treatment. It was the best I could come up with because I couldn't, I don't know if it's a state law, if it's just in their. Yeah.
I don't know either.
I don't either.
But if anybody finds out, I'm always going to call a friend because I know this one woman at the state. But, okay. Include alternative.
Oh, how about your state requirements?
With state requirements. Okay. That's good. And the consistency with the comp plan. Okay. Policy U5, include alternative design and construction techniques in the city's design standards to minimize sensitive area impacts and allow for new technologies that have proven efficiencies. Six, locate utility corridors in existing cleared areas where possible. We're not creating new disturbed areas. Seven, encourage the conversion and connection from private wells and septic systems to the city utility systems as available. Everyone okay with that? Eight, employ tools such as
We should have something in there about how close they have to be available. I think
it we do. If you go through it, 300 feet. Yeah, we do.
And then I was thinking about 300 feet, there would have to be some rationale.
Well, yeah, but that's
so this, well, this one is actually encouraging conversion. So this is a little bit different. We do have then policy for water and sewer within 300 feet. Is we'll get to that. But this one is kind of a, you know, if someone's on a private well or a septic system. They don't and it doesn't fail. They don't necessarily have to do anything about that, but you know, we kind of want to encourage them maybe that if they are going to enlarge their house or, you know, do something that
right.
that it might
yeah,
be in their interest.
You know, they run.
Yeah, because we want to get people off of those
well, that's,
private
I'm
wells,
thinking
and
especially on lakes. I'm thinking especially.
Yeah.
On lakes.
We want to get them off, but we can't. But the system failure is going to come later in the.
Okay.
Yeah. So, aid employ tools such as capital facility charges to require new development to pay its fair share of expansion of utility systems, but also encourage private investment in public infrastructure through latecomer fees or local improvement districts. So now in the potable water, the water policies, policy U9, maintain the agreement with the city of Tacoma to ensure adequate water supplies for emergencies and growth. I think I should put the intertie agreement specific. Maintain the intertie agreement. 10, encourage water.
water reuse and reclamation, especially for high-volume, non-potable water users, such as parks, schools, and golf courses. 11, identify and develop additional water supply sources to meet...
Yeah.
Maybe.
I actually put a note on here.
No.
That actually talks about that, because I'm going, I circled schools and golf courses, and I said, how do we see the schools using non-potable water?
Watering. Yeah, this is talking about watering lawns.
Are we going to allow these big grass patches because of the phosphorus problem in lake soil?
Well, that's another good point. I mean, we're saying that if you want to have a lawn and you want to water it, and these, you need to do water reuse or reclamation. But then, I mean, I don't know how you could not allow grass.
Build or remodel or whatever, or to meet the shoreline management program, that they can't just build a grass lawn. They will have to have some natural vegetation
against the lake.
So that's right.
And
fertilizing a green grass could be harmful, could make its way into the aquifer. So what do you guys want to do with policy 10? I mean, it sounds nice that you're going to encourage water reuse and reclamation, but maybe it's not something that you think is necessary to have here.
Well, I mean, you could be reclaiming water like the
Maybe we don't say the such as, just for, this was just getting at, this was really getting at people at you know, watering lawns, golf courses, lawns. Yeah. How does everybody feel about that, that we're going to just encourage reuse and reclamation? Okay, 11, identify and develop additional water supply sources to meet long-term water needs with consideration of climate impacts and fisheries protection.
That Diamond water system fails. We have more water than we'll probably ever use for Tacoma water.
But there is, you know, with the springs... And so there was some discussion in the water system plan, the draft water system plan, about the city considering another supply source. So, to replace the springs. And so, I mean, this is just saying if you did that. Yeah. Right. And so.
Water. I know we have all kinds of water right now. And then I was thinking, well, I don't think that we really, with this comprehensive plan, need to think about it. But I'm thinking that as the Rias are looking for water for the fish in that Green River, how long and how much, and I don't think they cut us off from one day to the next, but how much? They haven't, and what makes me think about it is, this is sort of off the subject, but the pollutant loading people are studying the hydrology, especially around the Green River, because they're pollutant loading for the Green Duwamish cleanup, the Superfund cleanup, and they're going to be studying the water flows and trying to understand the water flows and trying to figure out where the water's coming from. They have ways of figuring out where the water's coming from and making a complete study about that. Eventually, we'll be benefiting from it. But
after listening to you, I think here's maybe a better way to approach Policy 11 is to identify and develop additional water supply sources if needed to meet long-term water consideration consistent with the RIRA. Because that would also give us some leverage to go to them and get some grant or technical assistance.
Yeah, Councilmember Pepper, yeah. I would say that some wording like you've been discussing is really necessary because, one, you're identifying the asset that we have, and the other is you're providing some type of protection based on the what we don't know is coming.
Mm-hmm. I will. The water resource inventory area. Water resource inventory area.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
And so they, WRIA, yeah. And so those are little groups that get together and they do coordinated, you know, water planning, basically. So I think if we're doing this consistent with their efforts, I think I'll just reword that if that makes sense to everybody. Yeah. Okay, policy 12, focus on reducing water consumption through conservation. Encourage the reduction of water consumption through education for conservation, efficiency, reclamation, and reuse. Is that too much of a mouthful?
I'll have to say in my brain, restrooms in the schools nowadays where the hand washing water is all going to
the toilet. Huh. I've never seen those.
In every school.
Speaking of schools, the new one's getting built.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So did we encourage through education reduction or reducing? Okay, can you? I don't remember what I said, but reduction of water consumption. Okay. That sound good, everybody? 13, initiate the protection of water supplies for potable water needs and environmental goals.
Commissioner Sanico has a suggestion initiate out and add ensure the protection of water supplies. What are water supplies?
That's where you're getting your water. It's sort of a... It's your source of water.
So we'd be ensuring the protection of water supply, the source. Is that something that's in our purview as a city, or is that a bigger issue that it falls under the state or Department of Ecology or something?
Well, it needs to be in our purview if it's within our jurisdiction. And in the case of our springs, which is some of it is outside of our jurisdiction, we need to initiate that protection around that source by, you know, So you have to, we would have to initiate that.
Because that's not already being done.
Right.
This is question.
Right. So, okay, so back to Commissioner Senegal said he would like to say.
Well, his question on this issue was the word initiate bothers him. Is it not already in place? Okay. And perhaps the word ensure instead of initiate. But ensure, he doesn't go on to talk about the springs being part of that.
So ensure is fine, but I think we need to have more action. I mean, we actually, it's incumbent upon the city to initiate this effort to make sure that everybody around outside of our jurisdiction knows that that's our water supply, don't pollute it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I will let him know.
Yeah. Okay, now we're to the sewer policies. So policy 14. Provide and maintain a sanitary sewer system that protects public environmental health. 15, require public sewer connections for all new residential and mixed-use subdivisions and new or expanded commercial or industrial developments. 16, require public sewer connections for all new residential development or redevelopment on existing lots of record where the sewer is available within 300 feet. New residential construction or redevelopment on existing lots of record will be allowed if sewer is not within 300 feet if, number one, King County wastewater disposal regulations are met, and two, the property owner signs and records a no protest covenant for the potential formation of a local improvement district and agrees to negotiate frontage and connection fee costs. It's a lot there. It's not a no.
So that means that they're agreeing to hook up to the sewer and coming up those roads, or do they almost agree?
Yeah, and in that no protest covenant, they would also say that they agree that they've got 100 feet of frontage, because that's how they'll be assessed.
And
or
so
whatever that is.
For the redevelopment of existing lots, for instance, if I wanted to improve the square footage of my house to more than 50% of what I'm doing now, would that trigger that? Would that be considered redevelopment?
That's considered substantial development. So, look, you bring a really good point. So what are we saying? New residential development or?
New residential construction or?
Residential
redevelopment.
New residential construction.
Could it be permitting a sizable remodel?
I think that's the difference. Basically, now on the lake,
there's what, a maximum of 3 bedrooms? I mean, people are getting around that by building all kinds of bonus rooms and TV rooms and stuff. They're getting around it. But the idea is that you don't want a septic tank that will fail. And I still think we're going to get that septic charge from King County. Somebody told me that the other day that that's not going away. You know, that one that we all protested. They said it's not going away. They're going to sneak it in. So you have to pay an annual fee for your septic, or whatever it was. Wasn't it annual?
Sewer's available within 300 feet of a lot. And someone is building a new home, we're going to require they hook up. Now, if they are remodeling, now if they're within 300 feet and they're remodeling, or they're, how should we say that? Because redevelopment is somewhat vague. Substantial. That has meaning then. Substantial is defined in the.
Because if I were just going to cut my lot in. I have seen houses that have been that have been remodeled substantially that should be considered part of that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not really a redevelopment of the lot.
I think we should say substantial construction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do that. Because that has a dollar amount to it that you can actually measure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's good. Okay, so.
So are we going to put substantial construction or redevelopment and leave redevelopment in there? Because they really do say two different things.
They really do.
Okay.
Redevelop. Okay. Yeah, that catches everything. That's good. Yeah, that'll probably be one of the, you know, that's a policy that's going to come into play as these people, as people keep building up in, along the lake on those septic systems. Okay. Any more on U16 other than it's really long?
Furniture connection fee charges. I don't know. It just seems too much.
But that goes back to that private investment in infrastructure. I think that policy is worthy, but I think it covers all of what we're going to talk about. The thing is, the health department will approve you the way it is. Now you're compliant. That's great.
Okay, 17, require all failing septic systems to connect to the sanitary sewer system if they are within 300 feet. There's your failers. Yeah. 18, coordinate capacity adding projects with King County and Seuss Creek to ensure that regional system improvements are in place to support growth. 19, update capital facility charge calculations regularly and consider a charge based on sewer flow and wastewater strength rather than single-family residential flow characteristics. Right now, we're not doing that. And that was a recommendation that came from staff for this policy. Yeah. Doesn't it? So he would rather have a capital facility charge that's a little stronger than what we have. 20, serve new development within the urban growth area with sanitary sewer systems as appropriate. 21, plan for regional pump stations and only allow neighborhood scale pump stations on a case-by-case basis.
Their sewer systems into a pump station that pumps to the sewer line to save money.
Okay. Yeah. I used to do that for a living.
Yeah.
Okay, stormwater policies. U22, manage the quality of stormwater runoff to protect public health and safety, surface and groundwater quality, and the natural drainage systems. 23, update the storm drainage plan as needed to be compliant with the Department of Ecology and NPDES Phase 2 permitting requirements. 24, design storm drain lines or pathways to minimize potential erosion and sedimentation, discourage significant vegetation clearing, and preserve the natural drainage systems such as rivers, streams, lakes, and wetlands. Discourage vegetation.
I guess significant vegetation is more than
weeds, and you're required to get rid of them.
That's exactly what's going to happen. People are going to say, is it okay? Can I like grub? Can I take my weeds out? But significant is a gray word, too. Natural vegetation clearing. We could use the word natural instead of significant because that's... natural vegetation? Discourage the clearing of natural vegetation? Native. Native would be better. Discourage native vegetation clearing. Okay. Encourage the reduction of impervious surface and retention of natural vegetation through development regulations. Ensure that storm drainage facilities necessary to support construction activities and long-term development are adequate to serve the development.
That they have at the villages is ginormous. It's very, very, very large. And I know there's been some stuff put out by that Save Black Diamond group that has said that they don't have any storm drainage, but they have a huge, 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 yes, yes. And they use, yeah, and they use scrapers. And then Andy went back because it doesn't perk properly and said, you either have to make it deeper or you have to find an alternate plan. So they're working on making sure that if we have a 5-year flood or a 100-year floodplain issue, that it will drain properly because the soils aren't draining very well. So the people are worried about the villages draining into the lake. It's never going to happen because those soils do not drain very well where the construction is going on right now.
So policy 26. Require developers to design and provide for efficient and economical drainage facilities to minimize increased runoff, avoid increased peak stormwater runoff, and prevent flooding and water quality degradation. And then the last, policy 27, consider upgrading existing stormwater ponds, facilities or futures when new technologies or methods prove more efficient or when upgrades can add aesthetic value to the community.
And they just did that on the
did one. They?
And they will continue to monitor those stormwater ponds up there.
The aesthetic value does. Oh, yeah. I just can't stand those big ponds with the chain link fence around them.
Where that storm pond is? Eagle Creek. Anyway, they're going to take that fence down and make that into a usable area because that pond has never been full. In fact, it's never had any water in it. So they're going to make it into an extension of the park. Leave the pond there, but make it into an extension of the park, and so it can be maintained.
Well, I keep wondering if the rules for rain garden, if that is the place for the rules for rain garden.
The stormwater would be rain, but okay. I'm not exactly sure how to say that, but I think I could come up with something that will target that design and that issue. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's where we're stopping tonight. So next month, then I want to meet with the mayor and with the police chief to sort of flesh out this what to do about this level of service for the police, and then I know, yeah, we got to figure out something. We can't put something in here that we can't meet, and then I'm going to meet with the fire chief too. I've got a lot of information drafted, but I wanted him to look it over before I brought it out. And then public schools, I just need to, you know, I've got Auburn, I forgot Auburn in there. Council member Weber pointed that out for school districts. So next meeting next month is going to be what, January?
Oh, let's see, January 2nd.
Monday, so.
Yeah.
So, thanks, everybody.
Bring it up about the schools in Auburn. Currently, you know, I don't think we have any Black Diamond students in the Auburn School District. And there's that one piece of property that's in the Auburn School District that's in the MPD, that's in the Villagers. And I'm wondering if we should consider, before we get down to the nitty-gritty of it, that we don't have the thing that we had with the Water District, with that school district, and see if we can do something about changing those lines around. Yeah, in the same way as the Water District. I don't know.
That won't do it. The school districts are pretty.
No,
so I make a motion to adjourn tonight's work study.
Aye.
Aye.